the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, like a long lost cousin coming back to the bosom of the family, the Specials Podcast has returned. My name's Lee Phelps, if you have forgotten us. His name is Rob Dixon. Rob, how are you doing?
Did you write that intro yourself, or have you ad-libbed that?
Literally made it up on the spot just now.
That's brilliant. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, I haven't seen you. Are you still the same? I haven't seen you for months and months and months. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Yeah, not too bad. I've missed you.
I can't lie. We saw each other.
We bumped into each other last Friday, but yeah. Yeah, it was nice to see you, Lee. You've changed so much.
Good to be back. We took a few months off because there really wasn't an awful lot going on, and neither of us were watching Big Brother, so we thought it would be remiss of us just to lie and make out we were watching Big Brother every week. But Celebrity Big Brother now.
Don't come out with statements like that. I didn't watch Big Brother.
Well, you know, you were watching it, of course. But I wasn't. So it would have been unfair just to ask you to talk about it and me just stay quiet every week.
Yeah, I can't raise that machine either.
We've got Celebrity Big Brother now, though. We've got X Factor starting this weekend. Strictly. We've got the full lineup for, and there's lots that's happened in the world of sports personality of the year as well. So all of a sudden, we've got plenty to talk about. Should we launch in with Celebrity Big Brother?
Let's go.
UK versus USA, or celebs versus no marks. I'm not sure which ones the celebs are, actually. But top of the list here is a couple that we grew to love, I think, during X Factor. Stevie Ritchie and Chloe Jasmine. Yes, they are a couple. Chloe Jasmine and Stevie Ritchie were both on the 11th series of X Factor. They're 4-1. 5-1 for Gail Porter, who's, of course, well-known, been on our TV screens for a long time now. Scottish TV presenter, former model and actress. 6-1, Fat Man Scoop, the first of the US contestants in the betting. Isaac Freeman III, he's also known as American Hype Man and hip-hop promoter, radio personality, and he's pretty brash. The legend that is Bobby Davro at 13-2. Bobby Davro really needs no introduction from me, Rob. He's just an all-time legend, isn't he? Janice Dickinson, 13-2. Pretty much well-known in the reality TV world these days. You've seen her on various reality shows. Next up, Daniel Baldwin at 9-1. Hollywood star, of course. The Baldwins are starting to do a few of these, aren't they? Now a director and producer, James Hill at 9-1. James Hill's probably the one that you don't really know who he is. That's because he's an English reality television personality. He once appeared on The Apprentice, basically. Natasha Hamilton at 12-1, singer-songwriter. She was in Atomic Kitten, the original. Was she an original member?
She was an original member of Atomic Kitten, I believe.
Yeah. 16-1, we've got the fantastically named Austin Armacost. If you don't know who Austin Armacost is, what is wrong with you? Surely you know who he is. He's an American reality TV personality. Even the USA don't know who he is. 16-1 as well, we've got Sherry Hewson. Sherry Hewson's an English actress, presenter, broadcaster, TV personality. You'd recognise Sherry Hewson. Been in Corrie, Emmerdale. Probably more famous for Benidorm these days, I guess, and Loose Women. So the obligatory Loose Women contestant. 20-1, Christopher Ellison. I was really surprised to see Christopher Ellison in there, I must admit. He's probably one of the ones that you maybe wouldn't expect to see him in there. He's been in things like The Bill and Burnside and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, the work's dried up. Jenna Jameson, 33-1. If you're a man, you'll know who she is. Tila Tequila, 33-1. Better known by the stage name as well, Tila Nguyen and Miss Tyler. Basically, American model, TV personality, singer-songwriter, actress, writer, blogger. And bringing up the rear, 50-1 for Farrah Abraham. He was an American TV personality. That's the list, Rob. What a list it is.
What a list, eh? What dregs of society have we managed to dredge up this time, eh?
I mean, there's a few in there that, you know, immediately, you know, I think people, in a field that is largely unknown to us, I would say. I think that's fair, isn't it? Obviously, Daniel Baldwin's well-known. Catman Scoop, maybe. I think Gail Porter and Bobby Davro probably would be the ones who you'd immediately go, oh, yeah, we actually know them. We can relate to them. Bobby Davro, so there's been a few older kind of comedian types who've been around since like the 80s who've done well in this show.
Yeah, Jim Davidson as a prime example this time.
Jack D as well, I suppose.
Jack D's one as well, yeah.
early on?
People who, I think people who just seem to, the idea of the show really is if they can get along with their housemates, and that's their first link to winning, isn't it? And I think Bobby Davo would be all right. I think he'd bring quite a lot of comedy to the show and that. And I think they want to keep him in for as long as possible. They obviously didn't bring him in last night. Him and Janice Dickinson are going in tonight. But no. Another one of these big USA-UK sort of challenges. So I expect to see probably both their prices shorten during the show tonight. So probably 13 to 2, both as big as sort of 8, 9 to 1. Before the show started, so I do expect them to come in a little bit in the show, but it looks pretty open between maybe sort of 5 or 6. There's a few Americans at the back end of the market. You sort of Jenna Jameson and Tila Tequila Faray, but I can't really see them unless they change public perception enough. I can't see him challenging, really. I was surprised to see sort of Sherry Houston, maybe the Lewis Women connection. 16 to 1 seems a big price, but she didn't really do a lot in the launch show despite going in first. You always think sort of going in first, they used to get the secret task, didn't they, and things like that. Mm. But they weren't really a secret task last night at all. So she's gone back out. Natasha Hamilton, another one, sort of Atomic Kitten. She's managed to get involved in the first sort of argument of the night with sort of Farrah Abraham as well. So I expect to see, on tonight's show, you expect to see those two kicking off. And I think that's for the start of maybe a few sort of USA-UK arguments between the groups, because that's how it's sort of set up, isn't it? They want one group against another. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, we were banging a drum for a little while in reality circles about, the US contestants never win. That's kind of been turned on its head a little bit. I think the couple who annoyed everyone but stayed in right till the final three, whose name I've forgotten
now.
Spider, they did all right. And of course, we've had a more recent winner, which surprised quite a lot of people in the end. It's been set up to kind of, to put UK against US, but I'm not sure it'll be as clear cut as that. What Rob has done is priced up a top USA and top UK contestant market. Pretty much goes with the best and never out before, but top USA, you've got Fat Man Scoop, 2-1 favourite, Janice Dickinson, 9-4, Daniel Baldwin, 100-30, Austin Amakos, 6-1, 14s for Jenna Jameson and Tila Tequila, and 20-1 for Farrah Abraham. I've got a little feeling for Jenna Jameson. I've had a little feeling
exactly,
for Jenna Jameson,
yeah,
since I was about 15 years old, if I'm being entirely honest. But I think if she's maybe a bigger prize, she's maybe the one who can change public perception. Because I don't think she's as kind of, she's obviously a bright businesswoman, and it's in the same way your Jordan, your Katie Price is. I'm wondering if she could maybe change people's perception of her and actually come across as a kind of, just a normal person despite, her... a career that we know of.
Yeah, we tend to look at that, don't we? And we look at people who've probably got more to change. Obviously, it helped when we tipped up Jim Davison a few years ago for that same reason. Yeah, maybe she has. I just wonder the fact that she was a little bit sort of argumentative going in, and she didn't get a good crowd reception at all. I just wonder if it's maybe one bridge too far, especially as they're going to be. They seem to. I know it's a UK show, but they were sort of championing the UK people a lot more when they were coming in than the USA. And if the fans and supporters of the show tend to get into that, then maybe there's going to be, you just wonder how they're going to do the evictions if it's always going to be an American up against a UK contestant. Yeah. But on the other side of the coin, they don't want the show 2 weeks down the line ending up with 5 or 6 UK contestants and just one USA contestant, because it's sort of ruined the idea of the show. So I can expect to see maybe a few double eliminations with one UK contestant and one US contestant going out at the same time to sort of even things up.
Definitely. The UK market has Stevie and Chloe, 9-4 favourites to be the top UK contestant, Gail Porter, 3-1, Bobby Davro, 4-1, James Hill, 11-2, Natasha Hamilton, 7-1, Sherry Houston, 10-1, and Christopher Ellison is 12-1. Can't have Stevie and Chloe. I can't have them at the top of the main market or this one for me. I think they'll annoy too many people. I mean, Stevie was really annoying. I know they kind of come across a bit better as a couple. I saw them on one of the breakfast TV shows, but she's really annoying. I think he is as well, to be honest. I'm not having them. I, I'd happily take them on. I think I'll take them on with old Bobby Davro.
Oh, Bobby Davro at 13-2, yeah. I've backed James Hill before the start of the show, based on the idea of his sort of, he comes in from a sort of lower, no, he's got no real baggage to come into, as far as the show's concerned. And people who watch The Apprentice, you tend not to get the same sort of demographic. People watching The Apprentice probably won't be watching Celebrity Big Brother and vice versa. But I think he came across on that show as a sort of really likable little bit. I think there's a business brain in there, and I think he'd know how to play a situation to his advantage. And I think if he can sort of keep his nose clean and I think he gets on well with the rest of the group, then I think 9-1, 10-1 is a big price.
Yeah. Anything else on Celebrity Big Brother, or should we move on?
No, obviously it's on, right. It's on every night for the next sort of 2-3 weeks. So obviously a lot of change before we speak again next week. So have your bet and take your chance at the moment, I feel.
Indeed, and monitor Twitter. There's also top female, top male, the continent of winner.
Oh, there's and loads of stuff.
Yeah, good
Lee, I got up early just for this podcast today to put out loads of stuff for it.
Yeah, good markets there, Rob. Let's talk Strictly Come Dancing, because we've got a full list of contestants here as well. Let's run through them, shall we? At the head of the betting, Peter Andre at 4-1 went straight in. I know a lot of people on Twitter were backing Peter Andre, obviously a singer and television presenter and former husband of Katie Price. Next up, 6-1, we've got Jay McGuinness from The Wanted. 7-1, Georgia May Foote. Georgia May Foote is a former Corrie actress. Helen George is priced up at 7-1. She's from Call the Midwife. Jamelia, 8-1, singer and Loose Woman panellist. 9-1, Kirsty Gallagher. Probably needs no real introduction to a podcast audience who probably follow a bit of sport as well. Currently on Sky Sports News and been around the sporting world for quite a long time. Ainsley Harriott, 12-1, larger than life presenter and chef. Daniel O'Donnell, big surprise that for me, singer and TV presenter, that Daniel O'Donnell's doing this, 12-1. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fans in this demographic. 12-1, Ewan Thomas, Olympic sprinter. Anthony Ogogo, 14-1. Massively surprised by this as well, if I'm being honest. Olympic boxer. Kelly Bright at 20-1. EastEnders actress, Kelly is. Anita Rani, she's priced up at 25-1. Another TV presenter. Katie Derham at 25-1 is a BBC Proms presenter and a former newsreader, of course. Carol Kirkwood, everyone's favourite. I think I get the feeling Carol Kirkwood's been on this about six times before.
Yeah.
She's rumoured to be been on it. BBC Breakfast weather presenter, so an awful lot of people who watch the BBC will wake up with Carol Kirkwood, and she's got one of those kind of followings that it's almost like people follow her. Bit of a kind of guilty pleasure crush, I think they have on Carol Kirkwood. And finally, at 33-1, the same as Carol Kirkwood, Jeremy Vine, broadcaster and journalist. Do you know my favourite is out of that lot, Rob?
Well, you've championed Daniel O'Donnell a bit there, didn't you? So
that's a good bet. My favourite out of that lot is Jamelia. Big fan of Jamelia. Big fan of Jamelia. Right. That's all I'm saying. Just a big fan of her in general. But yeah, I think Daniel O'Donnell, I can't remember when this was, Rob, but in some incarnation of my working life, I've had to do some, either an interview, I've either interviewed Daniel O'Donnell or, I don't know why, but I've looked into his past at some length. And this guy has got an incredible following amongst a certain, you know, age of woman.
Older. You know, older. The word you try to use, Lee, is older.
Not older necessarily, but just a kind of, you know, maybe a bit older now, maybe because it was like 10, 15 years ago when he was in his pomp. But I'm sure I'm right in saying that Daniel O'Donnell would invite fans to his house and they would have like kind of get-togethers, and he was one of those people who embraced having fans. And I just wonder how big that following still is. Mm. I think he might go deep.
Disgustingly. Can't.
No, you know what I mean? Into the competition. This is a good field, though, isn't it?
I'm looking at it now. There's 15 contestants here, and I still find it pretty tricky to pick a winner based on this. I think it's probably one of the more... Last year, or previous years, you can at least think there's three or four that can do well here. But yeah. I look at those females, Georgia May Foote, Helen George, Jamelia. That's a tough category to pick a winner out of those three at the moment. Obviously, maybe Kirsty Gallagher's got a chance as well. But the male, you feel that Peter Andre's got a bit more of an advantage. He's got sort of a reality background. There's a dance background as well that's going to help him. Jay McGuinness. We'll have decent fan support, but I don't remember The Wanted being too much of a sort of... he didn't do too much on stage, dancing-wise, with that. I've backed a couple at the back end of the market, really. Anthony Ogogo at 14-1, which I still think's a really big price.
I don't get that. I mean, I don't get... He seems to be more intent on appearing on TV than he does on...
Yeah, he did Splash, didn't he?
He pulled out Splash because of an injury, didn't he?
Yeah, I just think 14-1. Boxers tend to have, unless he goes down the Joe Calzaghe route, boxers tend to have some sort of rhythm which enables, will help in a show like this. And obviously there's a couple of boxers in the past which have done really well. Calzaghe was the exception, unfortunately, to the thing. He started favourite in that market, and I think he went from about 3-1 to 33-1 in the first show. So we'll have to wait and see. And the other one I backed is Kelly Bright. EastEnders people do tend to get a decent rep on this show, and any show that can get Scott Maslin to get a place in it, then I think Kelly Bright at 20-1 with a little bit of a dance background as well has got a chance.
The reason that Anthony Ogogo is doing more TV than boxing, it's not because he doesn't want to box. I'll probably better clear that up, as I do the boxing podcast. He has had a lot of injuries over the last 2 or 3 years. He had some serious Achilles injuries, which is had to clear up. So to be fair to him, he's got to
earn. That is a worry, isn't it? We've had people go the injury. It's probably a 14-1 almost with a run, because the injury can strike at any time, and he does seem to, in his boxing career, as you said, has been unlucky with injuries in the past. And it is a pretty tough training regime. You'd know from sort of speaking to sort of Robbie Savage and stuff how tough it is that you are training for, I think somebody said it's 6 to 8 hours a day or something, getting these routines ready.
I do think that old thing that we bang on about every year about, I think there are a few things to look at. You've listed pretty much most of them there. I think the other thing is, if you've got someone who isn't working or not doing anything too strenuous that doesn't impact on their daily routine. I mean, I think, you go back to when Abby Clancy won. And I think, many of us thought when it got to the final that the breakfast TV presenter, Suzanne Reid, was probably in the favourite then. I think I'm right in saying, Rob, was she? And she kind of booked that trend of having, she was working every morning, remember, and having to travel back and forth and do all that sort of stuff. So she booked that trend, but she didn't win it in the end. I don't think that had anything to do with her routine. But, if you can find someone who's just dedicating their whole life for 3 months to Strictly. But yeah, I'm going with I like the Daniel O'Donnell angle at 12-1. Not sure he'll have the moves though to win it. I'm going with Jamelia 8-1. I think she's got everything going for her. Really, I think she comes across fantastically well. She's a little bit ditzy, but she's got personality. Looks fantastic, and I think she'll obviously have that background in dance and be able to move as well. So yeah, Jamelia very elegant as well. In the more elegant. I must say that we're doing this podcast on Skype today because both of us are at home, but from next week we'll be back in the studio and we'll have Andy Holding on board. I spoke to him yesterday. He's mad keen to get back on the podcast, so our Strictly expert Andy Holding will be back with us from next Friday. X Factor, Rob.
Yes, X Factor. It's all changed.
It has indeed, plenty
of changes for this year's X Factor.
Well, I meant to ask you actually about. I'm sure we picked a couple of those judges way back when, maybe earlier in this year, when we were talking about who would, be on that judging panel. I'm sure we got a couple of these right. I'm sure that you said you went with Rita Ora. I'm sure you did, and I went with the Radio 1 presenter Grimmy, Nick Grimshaw. Yeah. And there we are, we're both on the panel.
Exactly. I mean,
Fernandez Mazzini and Simon Cowell.
They've been trying to get Rita Ora for a couple of years. She'd committed to The Voice 1 year, but obviously Simon Cowell, the money spoke, and Simon Cowell got his woman. So Rita Ora's on the panel. Nick Grimshaw's on the panel as well. It does seem a lot younger. They've got rid of Mel B and Louis Walsh after 10 years has finally been jettisoned. A few more little changes to X Factor, which I'll try and go through. The categories are chosen by the public this year. Normally they just get told what category they've got, but this year there's a public vote to decide which ones, which category gets which judge, or vice versa, which judge gets which category. So that's changed. There's less live shows this year, 7 live shows compared to 10, I think it was last year. This is due to the Rugby World Cup taking place on...
The one time in my life I've been pleased that there's a rugby union match on it.
Yep, so that's we're down to 7, and there's going to be sort of, I think there's a couple of Super Sundays lined up as well, where there'll be no Saturday show, and Sunday will be the like all the performances and the results on the same night. So another night off for Reality Rob is the way I see that. So yeah, we've got obviously the outright, sorry, not the outright, the winning manager, winning category, first lose all acts, a few specials which I've dug up pretty much from last year. So
I think if you like 1-3 shots, Rob, that 1-3 for Strictly to have more peak viewers than X Factor's final is a good bet.
Yeah, yeah, it's done the last.
It's been decreasing year on year,
hasn't it? Yeah. Again, the X Factor.
I don't see it gaining any more this time either. I mean, I know they've changed it around, but I don't see it gaining enough to dislodge Strictly from that top spot.
No, that's true. X Factor winner to have UK Christmas number one, 4-6. Again, that's pretty much certain. Every year by one, it's come in the last 6. Any live finalists to forget their lyrics during a live performance? 2-1. That's happened in the last two years, I think, now. So that 2-1 again for me looks a little bit value. First act to sing live in the first live show to be eliminated in that week. That's probably good value based in the fact that the way the schedule looks like there's going to be 12 in the final with only 7 live shows. So there's likely to be maybe 2 or 3 double eliminations coming during the competition. So if you can get lucky on a double elimination, you get 2 for the price of 1. Any of the 4 permanent judges to miss a live show? That's happened before, hasn't it? With the lady, I forgot.
Nicole Scherzinger,
I think, forgotten one. And the other one, whose name I've forgotten. Who was the other one? Who was the other judge?
Louis Walsh?
No, he's there all the time.
Can we have a moment's silence for Louis Walsh? He's been on the X Factor since we started doing this, and he's no longer there. That's enough. Good riddance. I couldn't stand the guy anymore.
Not very nice, is it?
Yeah, I can't remember who you mean, but yeah.
It will come to me by the end of the podcast. It will come to me, the name.
You've got about 30 seconds, because I'm wrapping this up pretty soon. But yeah, X Factor, you know, all the usual problems for setting it before it's even started, with talk of manipulation, shock, horror. People being told one thing by the producers and another thing when it goes on TV. Shock, horror. And expect more of the same as we go through the series. I'm steeping myself up for an X Factor series here. And I no longer go in this with excitement. I go into it with trepidation, horror, that I've got to watch it now for the next and get sucked into it as well, by the way.
No, I like it. I still, out of all the things that I do every year with reality, I still like the X Factor. Because it's...
What?
Well, because you know what happens. It becomes like a soap now, doesn't it? You know roughly what's going to happen. You know how it's... Yeah.
I'm still a big fan. I think my favourite would have to be I'm a Celebrity, I think, of all
the... Once you know how the script works. I like I'm a Celebrity, but it's tough work for a couple of weeks. I have to, like, neglect my family to do I'm a Celebrity. X Factor's fine. Just Saturday,
kind of watch it with family.
Saturday night, Sunday night in the office. It's fine. Kelly Rowland was the person who...
Kelly Rowland. Wow. You've dredged that up from the...
I did.
From the
Wikipedia. Yeah.
Before we go, Rob, let's just do a little bit on Spotty, because lots of changes since we last spoke. I was up for some reason at 6:45 last Sunday morning, and I sent a little tweet out when I'd seen that Jess Ennis had almost won the heptathlon, but barring a fall in the 800 metres, she would win it. And she was priced up at a reasonable price on Hills. I think she was about 4-1 at the time. She's now 7-4 after clinching that goal to win Sports Personality of the Year. 4-1 Chris Froome, who won the Tour de France under some controversy, not of his own making, by the way, of the French public's making and the French media's making. So maybe a bit of a UK sympathy thing for him there. Lewis Hamilton is going to win the Formula One world title. He's 6-1. Andy Murray, 12-1, can only really win the US Open now to give him a chance, so that won't be enough. Tony McCoy, 14-1. Retired this year, of course, already won it. Whether the racing community really has the desire to push him forward again is open to debate. I think he's a good bet to get a knighthood though this year, if we've got any odds on that. 16-1 Joe Root, who was of course excellent for England in the Ashes. Mo Farah 22-1, who has won the 10,000 at the World Championships, may well do an unbelievable double gold with the 10 and 5, but still won't win this. Craig Rutherford won the long jump 25-1. Stuart Broad, fantastic bowling figures during the Ashes, 33-1, 40-1 and bigger the rest. It's Jessie's to lose this, isn't it, Rob? Who else?
Definitely the golden girl of Britain.
She finishes top three. I was surprised she didn't finish in the top three just for having a baby last year.
Exactly. I think she would have done if she'd got nominated. But she got the. I think she got a place in 2012, didn't she? Yep. So on that form, in fact.
I think she's already been in the top three twice. I think I'm right in saying.
She may well have been. Yeah. So I don't think she's got a lot to beat.
I mean, when I was tweeting, I was saying like, yeah, you can get her at whatever price. And I thought even at around the kind of 4-1 mark, 6-1 mark, it was an absolute dead cert each way bet.
16-1 before before the World Championships.
Anyone who took a chance on that is that, because she will finish in the top three. I mean, no one's going to be back in a 7-4 shot each way. But if you wanted to for top three, then she will finish in the top three.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, with the others, Chris Froome is a Marmite character for me. Is Chris Froome either go? It's
no one knows him, do they?
No, and the fact that he got nominated last year and he was quite a long way down the pecking order. He doesn't seem to have the same sort of public support that you got from sort of Cavendish and Chris Hoy. And
Wiggins.
Other previous winners, Wiggins, Lewis Hamilton, obviously the fastest car, and he's odds on still to win the Drivers' Championship. Won it last year from Rory McIlroy, but I can't see him winning it again based on the fact that nobody's ever won Sports Personality 2 years in a row.
He's not doing anything more than he did last year.
No, and Andy Murray would need to win the Davis Cup for Britain as well as the US Open. 12-1 is pretty much the double price, so that's fine for that.
I don't think the general public would put that much in the Davis Cup.
No, maybe not. But it's on BBC. Yeah. It's on BBC, and they've got a home tie in the semi-final. I think it is.
He might be, I tell you what, though, Rob, he might be a good each way bet to finish in the top three. Andy
maybe.
Murray. People generally like him a lot more now, and if they do win the Davis Cup, the fact that he's kind of grabbed that GB Davis Cup team by the scruff of its neck, it proves that he isn't all about just being Scottish. He is about being British, and it maybe remind people of his Olympic efforts as well. Yeah. So that might not be each way.
Tony McCoy, I think it's only still this short because it's being held in Northern Ireland. The thing, but I think it's
he's winning the Lifetime Achievement Award though that
he's
night.
Winning the Lifetime Achievement Award. He's not going to be winning both of those. He's not going to be winning both. Obviously, the Lifetime Achievement Award's his, but the I think the bigger gong will be passing him by this year. Joe Root still 16-1. I still like this each way. Obviously, player of the series in the Ashes, which we won, but again, it doesn't. It was against a pretty poor Australia side. It still hasn't taken the sort of same effect as 2005.
No, I don't think so either. We haven't got any prices on McCoy getting a knighthood, have we?
No, not yet.
We have nothing on there now. I think there were some prices kicking around earlier in the year, weren't there, to get a knighthood?
Yeah.
I won't put you under pressure, but
You've not put me under any pressure. They're not there.
No, I was about to say, what price would you make him at evens?
I'd lay it at evens, definitely, yeah. What would he get a knighthood for? Just for riding a few like really short price favourites over a line?
Yep. You're being facetious there.
Facetious. I'll tell you what, when he's in I'm a Celebrity at the end of the year, right, when he wins I'm a Celebrity, his price is shortened for a knighthood with me.
he travelled to Ascot with the Queen.
Yeah.
At the Queen's request, and had lunch with her and basically spent the day with her.
Come on. Come on, Lee. You've never spent a day with a Queen.
You've spent the day with many Queens, but that's something else. Let's call her. A halt to proceedings there, Rob. Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you again. We'll do this all again next week and every Friday throughout the build-up to Christmas, basically. Andy Holden will be with Rob Dixon and I next week as well. In the meantime, thanks for listening. If you want to download it, you can go to audioboom.com. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, and it'll be delivered to you every week. Or just go to williamhill.com and click on the podcast page. You can get Rob on Twitter at reality_Rob. I'm at Lee Phelps, and we'll be discussing all things reality TV and specials-based betting over the course of the weekend. Cheers, Rob.
Cheers, mate. Have a good one.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.